numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. It is Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass as usual. We were running through some AFC East thoughts. We'll continue with those here in just a second. Kelly, one of the things that we were praising Washington and all the stuff that we saw last night from this team. And then it comes through that there will be an MRI today on one of their very key players, Terry McLaurin, wide receiver, kind of under the radar, sneaky, really good because he's had pretty garbage quarterback play and continues to produce at a very high level. He sprained his toe and going to have an MRI today to see the extent of that. But man, these toe injuries in wide receivers never really turn out all that great. It seems like they linger forever. So hoping that maybe he has the mildest of toe sprains here. Because like I said, man, this guy's really produced at a high level despite having really, really subpar quarterback play.
Yeah, I think there's I think there's some excitement to be had out there for guys like Jahan Dotson and what he can do this year. But man, a lot of that comes with having Terry McLaurin on the other side.
Yes.
It is.
Your attention, the attention that they're allowed to pay to you is certainly divided. And now if he's not out there, then things get a little dicey.
Yeah, I'm definitely something to monitor because that could be big.
And if you didn't catch us first hour, no surprise. I think everyone believed that to be the case anyway. But Baker Mayfield was named the starting quarterback for the Bucs, as we mentioned, one of the worst teams in the NFL projected as we head into the season. Longest odds to win that division, really, really long odds to win the Super Bowl as well. Kelly, we were in a really good discussion actually about the AFC East, so I kind of want to continue on with all that, and I don't want to cut short the Jets either because it was a team that did make the top 10 in your power ratings, didn't in mine. And I said if there's any team in this division that maybe I was looking to fade, it might be them, and maybe it's just because of the hype that's coming with all of this. Now, one thing that cannot be denied about this team is this defense is really, really good and probably it might even have a chance to be better this year than it was last year.
Yeah.
The offense is certainly going to be better. And I think from a bull case scenario with this team, I mean, you could look and say the offense scored the fourth fewest points in all of the NFL last year, while the defense allowed the fourth fewest points in all the NFL, and they still lost 10 games, right? I mean, so it's kind of like, okay, if this defense continues on, which, again, there shouldn't be any reason that they wouldn't at least be a top 10 unit, if not a top 5 unit, and certainly could be battling for the best defense in all of the NFL when it's all said and done. If that's the case, you have to think instant upgrade Aaron Rodgers, instant upgrade he brings in his own personal offensive coordinator, and instant upgrade because he brings along a couple of familiar faces with him at wide receiver in Lazard, in Cobb, and then, of course, year two of Garrett Wilson. So there is upside here for this Jets team. I'm not discrediting that at all, Kelly. I think it's just, for me, the division they play, and I think it's more that I really like the Bills still, what they bring to the table, and I'm just higher on the Dolphins, I think, than most, which would naturally, someone has to be down, like someone has to come down in all of that if I'm going to be so high on the Dolphins, and that would be the Jets.
Though. Yeah, and that's, I think when, as far as me being pretty high on the Jets this year, really, it really comes down to what you brought up. Look, the offense, whatever, for a second, right? You're still talking about a top defense in the league to me, and you're going to bring that back this year, and I fully expect them to be a top 5 defense in the league. Now the question is, okay, we know you've upgraded on offense. How big of an upgrade is that, right? How far can Aaron Rodgers and these new pieces take you? And that's the bigger question mark to me, Matt, but like we know it's a massive upgrade from what they were doing last year. So, yes, I expect this team to be extremely competitive. I did lie last segment, though. I didn't say I had a bet in this division because I've been high on the Bills the past couple years. Do I think that they are maybe this year going to take a slight step back? Yeah, but that's very slight. I think it's going to be very slight. As long as Josh Allen is healthy, that team's going to be right there. Dolphins, I think, have potential to have a great year. I think they have a potential to win this division, absolutely. And I think this Jets team is really solid. So what bet did that lead me to? Under on the Patriots win total, who I think it's the disparity in the conferences, Matt, where if the Patriots were in the NFC, okay, you might be talking about a solid playoff team this year, but you're dealing with this kind of division, the kind of schedule that they're handed, partially because of the division that they're in. I think the Patriots are going to have a brutal, brutal season.
Yeah, it's a deal where you look, Patriots were 8-9 last year, and it was kind of a, I think it was fairly, let's just say a fairly mediocre performance from Mac Jones. I mean, like, I think he got a little bit of a raw deal. Everyone was like pointing and just saying that it was definitely him, the reason why they were losing all these games. He had no talent around him, too. Right? I mean, there's another thing that goes along with all that. I mean, it's very hard to play quarterback if you don't have anyone with any talent to throw to. So there was that. I mean, and listen, I'm not a Mac Jones guy. I'm not a Patriots guy at all. But I think, to be fair, we have to say there's very little talent around the dude. And so now you bring in Juju Smith-Schuster. We're going to find out, is there anything left in the tank, or was this just a product of playing with Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, was he resurrected because he's playing with what could end up being the greatest quarterback of all time? And so like, that is the question that'll be answered at least a little bit this year with all that. They also bring in Mike Gesicki. That is a pretty interesting signing as well, because if you listen to what some of these beat writers are saying, they're kind of lining Gesicki up as a slot guy. So it would be more of a really big kind of mismatch dude there in the slot. And that's kind of how they're tackling, putting him out there. They bring in Riley Reiff, who obviously is a very, very good tackle. So, I mean, they did bring in some dudes that can certainly help out this team. And of course, they drafted Christian Gonzalez in the first round as well. That's on the defensive side of the ball, so that's an upgrade too. Offensive coordinator was a very big hot topic last year amongst, you know, what was going on there in New England. They have cleared all of that up. Bill O'Brien comes in as offensive coordinator, fresh off of his Nick Saban rehabilitation program that he got down there in Alabama, which, again, all you have to do is you go serve 2 years. You go serve 2 years as coordinator under Nick Saban. Your sins are washed clean, and you can go get a new job anywhere in the NFL, and that's Bill O'Brien. So he's going to be the offensive coordinator there for this Patriots team, which you have to assume is just an upgrade anyway, because whatever was going on with Matt Patricia last year was just a disaster with all that. That all being said, everything that you said also applies to me. Do I think the team's going to be terrible? I don't think they're going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a division that I think so highly of the top two teams, I think the Jets are going to be perfectly fine. And certainly with that defense, they're going to be in every game, right? Like, they're not going to be – Aaron Rodgers is not going to be looking up at too many double-digit deficits, right? I mean, like, it's just not going to happen. And so by process of elimination – one of these teams has to be looked at as kind of like by far the most inferior team. And that, to me, has to be the Patriots. And again, it's not, I think they're going to be absolutely terrible. It's just, you play six games against three teams that I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to talk two divisions today. Well, if we get to the AFC North, but there's kind of a similar case in both divisions where it's like you said, I don't know that I think the Patriots are going to be terrible. I think they probably got a little bit better from a year ago, but that division is just, it's brutal. It is going to be so tough to really ask them to do all that much this season.
Yeah. And you look at this schedule, right? This is one of those things where I would not bet a win total on the Patriots until about week five. And then maybe we look from there, because they start out Eagles, Dolphins, Jets, Cowboys. There is a world that exists, Kelly, where they come out 0-4, yep, and like, you're staring down then that game in week five of the Saints. And this win total has come down at least a full game, if not two full games. It does lighten up from there, though. You go Saints, Raiders, there is a game against Bills and Dolphins there, but then you get Commanders, Colts, and then you come out of the bite of the Giants. Like, it does at least lighten up a little bit from there. I would not be betting this win total before the first four games of the year, because I think more times than not, we're going to be looking at an 0-4 team, and you're going to be getting a better number anyway on this team. And hey, after you've watched those first four games, maybe you're not bullish on this team anyway to bet the over. Like, maybe you've like thought better of yourself and you're not going to be wanting to bet the over on this win total as it is anyway. So something I would certainly kind of pump the brakes on. And if you do still feel really good about them after the four games, again, they head into the Saints, Raiders, games with Commanders and Colts in there as well. So maybe that could be a situation to jump in line.
Yeah, if you're looking, keyword there, if you're looking at the over. If you like the under, get in now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like I already have.
Yes. If you like the under, for sure, because look, the schedule's just, it lightens up a little bit there when we were talking about it, but then even on the back end, it goes Chargers, Steelers, Chiefs, and for me, again, you and I are both think this Chargers team, at least on paper, could be really, really good. I think the Steelers are going to be better than most people think. I actually kind of dig what they've got going on there. Are the Broncos any good? We'll find out. Is Russell Wilson cooked? We'll figure that out, but then it goes Bills, Jets. I mean, it's just a monster of a schedule to try to overcome as well. That's the problem.
Yep, it is. Yeah, toughest in the NFL by win total, right?
So let's look at like most passing yards for the AFC East, which is pretty interesting, because you take a look, and I already brought up a couple of different things, and I think that Josh Allen being your favorite at minus 130 makes a lot of sense. Aaron Rodgers plus 250, Tua at plus 350, and Mac Jones at 16-1. Kelly, for me, I am all over Tua in this market. I understand, again, you're taking up a bunch of risk, and I get all of that, but you are he has a 1A, 1B type scenario from a wide receiver standpoint. We already talked about the fact that Aaron Rodgers operates at a snail pace and has done so for the last three seasons. It would be, in my opinion, crazy to think that it's going to change. Oh, by the way, you just signed Dalvin Cook as it is too, so you're going to like not utilize him? You're going to not use him in the run game? Of course you are. So I think Mac Jones is obviously off the table here when it comes to all that. And then so basically a head-to-head between Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa, and I think that the Bills are likely to run the ball a little bit more than the Dolphins are. And I honestly think that Tua, whenever you come down to it, if he can stay healthy, I think he would be the favorite in this market anyway. I think this is baked in that you're assuming that Tua is going to miss several games throughout the course of this season. If that's true, then so be it. But I would try. I'd take the plus 350 on Tua as opposed to laying $1.30 on Josh Allen.
Yeah, something you would bet if it was available to us. Because I actually thought that price was kind of was pretty attractive.
It would be something I think it would be interesting putting a little steak dinner money on something like that. Like nothing huge, because again, there is an inherent risk with how quick are they going to be to pull the trigger right on Tua? That's the other thing, right? Like, is even if he doesn't have a concussion, does he take a big hit and then he just moves on, right? I mean, that's the other thing that we kind of have to deal with all this with Tua Tagovailoa. They take the good with the bad. When we come back, let's continue rolling on here in the NFL. Look at a new division and maybe some of these other division-specific markets as well. Number game here on a Tuesday.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team and give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guides due out later this month, and it's going to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. We're going to get picks from every single on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use the betting splits page, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy online or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for $199 American. You can sign up today over at VSiN.com/subscribe. I can tell you how to use the betting splits page. You go in, you take it for entertainment purposes only, and then you move on, Kelly. That's how you use it.
There you go.
Yes, that's how you use the betting splits page. Maybe it's a tiebreaker for you or something somewhere along the way. Coming through, Justin Thomas has entered the Fortinet Championship. It's the first fall event, and it's 2 weeks prior to the Ryder Cup. So there's now the rumor.
Stacked.
So now the rumor. Now the rumor mill is beginning. Does that mean he thinks he's going to get the captain's pick and he's warming up, you know, by going and playing the Fortinet? But he has entered the Fortinet Championship.
Wait. Wouldn't you think that's the? I would think the other way. I would think I haven't been told anything on what my future is with the Ryder Cup, so I better sign up for this tournament.
I don't know. The rumor mill has begun where it's like, hey, that's 2 weeks before the Ryder Cup. Maybe he's trying to get in, you know, some competitive golf before he goes and plays in the Ryder Cup, you know, because he didn't make it. So it's, you know, he didn't play as much as everyone else who would.
You're not playing golf too good right now.
Yeah. And and fewer tournaments for him as well than the guys that actually are on the team because he wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. So
Hoba going back for the three-peat. That field's getting stacked, actually.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is we talked about minimally yesterday on the show, but it was basically all they talked about on Golf Channel yesterday. Like, I mean, I keep either Tennis Channel or Golf Channel on at all times because typically there's a golf tournament or a tennis tournament going on at all times, so you can just kind of like always have sports going on. But that is all they talked about. I mean, seriously, all they talked about yesterday was Ryder Cup, who deserves it, who doesn't, first in, first out. Justin Thomas, Lucas Glover kind of on the side, and whatever. A lot of the guys, Kelly, did come to the conclusion that you and I did, which was that fine season, awesome comeback, great little stretch, but we can't reward Lucas Glover for like a really good 3 weeks and put him on the Ryder Cup team. I mean, he was literally like 160th or something in points before and whatever. So a lot of people were like, listen, this is great. awesome story, feel good story. The dude learned how to putt and like he won a couple of tournaments and that's amazing, but not necessarily good enough to the complete body of work, right? Was not good enough to make it. I will say this, everyone's list, nobody had Sam Burns making it. So like Sam Burns, like anyone that was putting out their version of their captain's picks, Sam Burns on nobody's list.
Interesting.
Old Sammy played his way right off the team over the last couple of weeks.
I think Henley's interesting too. I don't know what you do with him because I mean he's a guy when we talk about some of those guys like Burns and Keegan and stuff, and Henley's been, you know, just as good if not better than those guys pretty consistently all year.
So one of the things that they were talking about, and this is actually something that we didn't bring up yesterday, is course fit, right?
Right.
In the captain's picks as well. Whereas so they are going to put the course together in the fashion that they think best suits their guys, right? And they were talking about how, yeah, they do have a bomber, certainly, in Rory. But outside of that, a lot of these like younger dudes that are going to have to play on the team or whatever, and a lot of even the captain's picks and stuff, aren't typically your bombers, right? They're the guys that are more kind of like straight and in the fairway, and then they play second shot golf and all that. And so
Aaron Rye.
Yeah, and so they were talking about that the course layout is going to not be necessarily what the Americans, you know, really strive at. And so they were saying, hey, do you put a guy like Russell Henley? Do you put whatever who's like short and straight, but he's straight, and that's what, you know, the course is likely to be set up to where it favors something like that. Cause you know, you can't, not that he's in consideration, but you can't put like a Bryson on there because it's like, they're going to set the course up where you cannot bomb and gouge it. Right. And so it's like putting him on there would just be a disaster. And
right.
So it's all interesting. Right. I mean, I had not even looked into kind of like what the course conditions might be or what the course looks like or something, but they were bringing up that like, it's likely to be tight and you cannot miss, you know, all over the place, kind of how they were looking at it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how they set up the team because I think that definitely comes into play with how that course is set up.
So let's continue on here. We wanted to take a look at the AFC North. And, Kelly, I you know, for me, I've been talking about this Bengals team for quite a long time. I think that whenever you look at this would be the year for me whenever I was talking about kind of – you know when teams are supposed to peak, and this seems like this would be it. Now, the injury to Joe Burrow is certainly concerning, and how much is this going to linger? They're plus 150-ish right now in the division. The Ravens coming in second, kind of in that 230-ish, 240-ish, 250-ish range. Browns a little under 4-1, and then the Steelers just a little over 4-1, kind of 4.5-1 in there. I really like Cincinnati. If I knew Joe Burrow was completely healthy, they might even be my Super Bowl pick this year, even over the Eagles, but I can't get there with that question mark looming. And so all I can say right now is I still love this team. At some point in the season, he's going to be healthy. At that point, I think they're going to be favorites in just about every single game that they step out on the field. And you look at the skill position side of things, you look at the defensive side of things, there's really not a lot that you can hate about this squad other than the fact that, hey, maybe Joe Burrow is going to be dealing with this lingering calf injury.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they're a team that, look, I think they've got as good of a chance to win a Super Bowl this year as probably anybody. But this is not another one. Like we talked about the AFC East, I think this division's tough. I think this is going to be tough.
Famously, we said last year that the AFC West was the division of death, right?
And then
it turned out not to be, and it was not. I will claim, I'm planting the flag this year. This is the division of death, and if this just ends up not being the division of death, then I'm never naming another division the division of death ever again. But listen, all four of these teams, in my opinion, are like playoff quality teams.
Yeah.
If they play even to like their 80th percentile of outcomes, right? I mean, like that's how much I think of all of these teams. And so, yes, I think that this is the division of death.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Ravens are going to be better. I think we know what the Bengals are. I think the Ravens are going to be better. I think the Browns are going to be better. I think the Browns could be a whole lot better if we see a Deshaun Watson that we saw a couple years ago, plus that defense steps up. I think that team could be very good. And then, like we were talking about with the Patriots, and I think the Steelers are even ahead of where the Patriots are at. If you were talking to this team being in the NFC, you're talking a playoff team. This is another team I bet a season win total under on, simply because of you know, or large in large part due to the division that they're in.
You look here, the Bengals bring in Orlando Brown to play left tackle. Maybe one of the bigger signings in, you know, in the offseason, because again, the one thing, if you wanted to knock, was Joe Burrow did get a revamped offensive line last year, but it took him like 12 games to kind of figure things out and get things going. And for that first bulk of the season, Joe Burrow was still kind of looking like he was running all over the place and trying to make things happen. And you bring in Orlando Brown now, should solidify this offensive line a whole lot more. You look what they did. You look what the Browns, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. I mean, this is a guy that a few years ago, and what you think of the guy off the field and all that personal, we're talking about sports and sports betting and what happens on the field. So we have to kind of like keep it to all of that. And he was in the same breath. If we'd have said 3 years ago, hey, Kelly, give me your top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Deshaun Watson is going to be on your list of top five quarterbacks in the NFL. And yes, I get it. Out of sight, out of mind. And when he did come back, he looked incredibly rusty last year. But to remember as part of that suspension, right, he was not even allowed at the facility, much less being able to practice with the team and things like that. So you got to remember that this was a dude that when we talk about like rust, it wasn't just rust. It was rust in like getting to even know the team and the teammates and all the things that were going on, because he wasn't even allowed in the facility, much less being able to practice with the team whenever he was on suspension. And so you look and you have to assume a full off season with the guys, a full off season of being in the locker room and being in the facility and learning the ins and outs of this offense and what his players are good at. You get one of the best offensive lines in the league. You get the best, arguably, you know, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back. You have skill position players. I think Elijah Moore was kind of an under the radar trade that they made, which if he gets, if he's happy there and likes the role that he's in, I think could be a big contributor. I kind of like the Browns this year. If you did download the NFL guide, the original version, I know we have an updated version that's coming, but the original version, Kelly, I had the Browns as a playoff team, and I'm still sitting with the Browns as a playoff team.
Yeah, I like it. I think they're going to be right in that mix of making it in as one of the wild card teams.
Yeah, there is the chance that Deshaun Watson is no longer any good. I will put that out there, there is a world in which we live that sitting out for 2 years, the game passed him by or whatever, and he wasn't working at all from the mental standpoint and completely lost it. There's a world that exists that's the case. Typically not, though. These guys that are super, super gifted athletes, they do tend to figure it out. And so I'm going to look at that kind of case there as opposed to the other. But maybe a team that you end up fading somewhere along the way because Deshaun Watson just can't get things figured out. When we come back, let's talk some Major League Baseball and what the day looks like on Mark Borcher's card.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters recently sat down with Brent Musburger to discuss his new book, Gambler, Secrets from a Life at Risk. Now, for a limited time, you can get a free copy of Walters' new book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. So if you just sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today, use that promo code Billy, B-I-L-L-Y. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, pro tools like exclusive betting splits. Remember to use the code Billy when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription to get your free copy of the book. Copies are limited, so you need to go today, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's not a bad deal.
There you go.
Could I have typed in that I would rather get an audio version of the book, because reading, I can't do that anymore. You send me the audio version of the book if I want to do this, because I can't read books anymore.
Voiced by Sean McColl.
When was the last time you read a book cover to cover?
Oh, God, I don't want to admit that. It's been a long time.
And how long was that book?
Novella.
Was said book? For me, I had the best of intentions. And then, you know what I'll do?
Had a lot of really good intentions, too. Yeah.
So, we'll pull back the curtain here on a numbers game. You know, listen, it's Gil's show, so I can just kind of I'll get off the rails a little bit. So, this little story about me here. The last three books that I've actually purchased, like the physical books, I've read anywhere from, let's call it 30 to 70 pages in them, and then they sit until the audiobook version comes out, and then I just rebuy the book again in the audio and then listen to it. So like I actually buy two copies. I actually buy two copies of the book. Like I have every time I'm going to start reading. All right, I'm going to be a reader, and then I just wait for the audio version to come out, and then I rebuy. So I buy all these books twice. So I'm like their best customer.
Yeah, seriously, sounds like it.
So let's talk some Major League Baseball. This guy does it for a living. You can find him over on the Twitter machine at BaseWinner. He is Mark Borchard. Mark, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Matt. Appreciate being on the show.
So let's go ahead and get right into it before we talk some macro stuff. Let's get into today's games because people hate whenever I talk the macro stuff first and then don't actually get to the game picks and things. So let's go ahead and go there. Cardinals and Pirates, a game that I don't think a lot of people maybe are paying attention to. Adam Wainwright on the hill for the Cardinals. Got Johan Oviedo for the Pirates. As we sit right now, Pirates minus 135. Home favorites plus 114 over on DraftKings for the Cardinals on the road. 9.5 is your total. What do you like in this one?
I'm going to play the first five Pittsburgh team total over. You can get 2.5 at about like minus 120. I think it's a gift. You look at Wainwright, I think that like the consensus would be if you follow baseball, that Wainwright is kind of being given a courtesy by the Cardinals to finish the season off. And I think if they were in the playoff picture as any other team, this guy just wouldn't be out there. And I've got him ranked. I've got 147 starters ranked. I've got him 141st. I think that's generous to him. If you look at his last two games, Matt, he hasn't gotten a swinging strike. One swinging strike in the last two games. Zone contact, 100%. Outside the zone contact, 100%. I've never seen anything like it, really. I mean, it's like I said, I think they're giving him a courtesy, and I don't know if it's a courtesy at all. I think but if they gave him a courtesy, they'd say, hey, look, you're done. You know, to go out with some kind of grace. But here I'm going to take the Pittsburgh lineup. It's not a great lineup, but it's a major league lineup, and this is some of the metrics on Wainwright are just terrible. So that's how I'm going to play that particular game, Matt.
Dodgers and the Guardians. This is coming to you 7:10 Eastern, 4:10 Pacific. Bobby Miller going for the Dodgers. Noah Syndergaard going for the Guardians. Dodgers, as you would imagine, a favorite in this one, minus 205 as we sit right now, plus 170 if you want to back the Guardians at home as underdogs. A flat 9 is your total. Bobby Miller might not be very familiar with a lot of people out there, the guy that's going for the Dodgers today, Mark, but a couple of good starts in a row for him. He's got a couple of quality starts back-to-back for this Dodger squad. What are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, Bobby ball game. I've got him 20% better than an average pitcher. You look at his median strikeout number, it's 5. Walks, great. Only one walk per game. And a ground ball percentage of 47%. Those are his median numbers. Gives him a base winner ERA of 3.41. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that from his standpoint. But you take a look at Syndergaard, and I don't know what, Cleveland, I really respect their analytics department. They've really pioneered a lot there, and they work very well with pitchers. I don't know what they're seeing with Syndergaard. I can't see it. I look at a last 150 plate appearance strikeout percentage, 9% ISO power allowed last 500 plate appearances. He's in the 9th percentile there. Stuff plus is measured by Eno Saris at the Athletic, 15 percentile stuff plus number. And there's just nothing good about Syndergaard. You look at these offenses, huge disparity between the offenses. The Dodgers second by my ratings, 26% run production above average. Against the Cleveland team, which is really in the bottom 10, 21st versus right-handed pitching. So what I did on this, Matt, is I put it in a base winner parlay. I've been having some success with the parlays, two-team parlays this season. And I did Pittsburgh team total over 2.5 with first five Dodgers. You risk a unit, you win 1.71. So a decent return for that. I think that's kind of how I'm attacking the card today.
So talking with Mark Borchard, professional sports better. You can find him at BaseWinner over on the Twitter machine. We got 9:40 Eastern, 6:40 Pacific, Rangers and the Diamondbacks. John Gray for the Rangers, Zach Gallen for the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks minus 125 home favorites, plus 105 if you want the Rangers on the road as dogs. 8.5 is your total. We look at Zach Gallen, and a guy that has been much, much, much better at home than on the road. If it's weird to see just splits like this on a guy that was one of the Cy Young favorites for the longest amount of time, and you know, it's one of those things where I've kind of looked at Gallen at home and weirdly faded him on the road. And for whatever reason, it's kind of worked out, but we do have Gallen at home in this one.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good observation. He's much better at home. I'm not gonna do anything with Gallen. I'm actually just gonna play the team total over today. You can get it over 4 minus 117. I've got 5.1 runs projected. Gray's strikeout percentage is nothing impressive. 17.4% over the last 150 plate appearances. Stuff plus is in the bottom half of the league. And I think this Diamondback seems super capable. I've got them 12th in baseball from an offensive standpoint. And I think that they have still a pretty good chance to get into the playoffs, Matt.
So, Mark, we do have the AL West, which is the most interesting when it comes to division bets that you can still make, right? I mean, the Astros plus 135 to win that division, the Rangers plus 140 to win that division, the Mariners now sitting 3-1 to win that division. We know a little bit of a skid here going on with the Rangers, a big time win streak going on the Mariners side of things. When it's all said and done, is there a bet to be made here in the AL West?
I think so, Matt. I like the Rangers, and I do simulations. I simulate the rest of the season, like 2,000 times, put in the component ratings, and my model, the simulations came up. The Rangers are going to win this 57.3% of the time. Puts my money line number on them minus 134, and you can get plus 140 in the market. So I think the Rangers are still a good play there.
AL East, the Orioles have the lead and really have held on to it for a while now. The Rays starting to fade just a little bit, and then the Blue Jays are still lingering. The Orioles, minus 285 to win that thing. The Rays are plus 260, and then the Jays are still 30-1. I mean, there are several games back of this. I guess if we're looking at this, it's Orioles and Rays, and do you think the Orioles hold on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my simulations say they're going to win the division 66% of the time, but Tampa Bay I have 32% of the time. They're priced at plus 260 in the market. They should be priced at plus 211. So I think there's still a little bit of value on Tampa Bay in that division, Matt.
And finally, we are looking at the NL Central. This is the Brewers with a 2.5 game lead on the Cubs and a 4 game lead on the Reds. What do you look at here in this one?
Well, this is a super interesting division, the way it breaks down right now, because I've been very high on the Cubs over the last month or so. In fact, I think maybe about a month ago, I gave out the Cubs at 12-1 to win this division. And now I think that there's a case to be made for the Brewers, who I've been so down on over the whole year. But their bullpen's really gotten good. They're number 2 by updated ratings. I updated them yesterday, and I was really surprised on that. They've really moved up. The bullpen has, and then getting Woodruff back and Peralta's really pitched well. So those two pieces have kind of propelled them. And of course, you got Corbin Burns there. So I think that if you did make a bet, if you did listen to me and made a bet at 12-1 with the Cubs, I think you might want to hedge it out a little bit. I got the Brewers win in this division 71% of the time, so it should be minus 247 by the Sims, and in the market they're at minus 215. So that's kind of my idea on that. I kind of did a 180. I've hated this Brewers team all year, but that bullpen's really, really pitched well, and I rate my bullpen last 150 plate appearance strikeout percentage and walk percentage over the last 300 plate appearances. So it's a pretty simple way to derive a number on the bullpen, and I think it's a pretty good one.
You can find him over on the Twitter machine at BaseWinner. He is Mark Borchard. Mark, thanks for the insight today, man. Appreciate it.
Matt, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, buddy.
When we come back, Mike Golic Jr. on all things college football. It is a numbers game here on a Tuesday.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert those points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located up and down the strip and, of course, nationwide. Sign up at BetMGM or log on today. Get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, and those bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you do have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. News coming through while we were on the air today. Baker Mayfield named the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And then this comes through. This is from Adam Schefter. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, rookie receiver from the Seahawks, undergoing wrist surgery today in Philadelphia, but still could have a chance to be ready for the start of the regular season, per sources. Whoa. They say that he broke a bone in his wrist on the play in which he almost scored Saturday night in the preseason. He will have it surgically repaired today. For people who have futures tickets, I don't know if you're watching the video feed of this or not on the Seahawks. That's not great news, because a lot of the handicap here was, hey, look, this is a guy that is a dynamic playmaker to go along with DK Metcalf and kind of the declining Tyler Lockett. And now if you take a little bit of the pressure there off of Tyler Lockett, that could have been a really interesting offense. Again, a chance, according to Adam Schefter, poor sources, and he's got a lot of them, that he could be back for the beginning of the season. He is the host of the Gojo Show over on DraftKings Network. You should take a look any chance you get the opportunity. Here's Mike Golic Jr. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Tough news to come in on there. I'm going to have to send out the bat signal and make sure my friend Mina Kimes is okay right now. I'd imagine she is in very physical pain with the news that you guys just read.
I'm in financial pain, maybe. I have some investments there in the Seahawks team. So, yeah, I would take the emotional pain right now as opposed to the financial pain that may come with this. Again, hopefully the good side of everything here. Let's talk about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We're going into the season with them sitting 13th in both of the preseason polls. I think as Notre Dame fans out there, maybe would you say over the last few seasons been a little disappointed with end results, with things, a lot of the high hopes that always really kind of doesn't feel like it gets paid off at the end? What should Notre Dame fans feel like heading into this season, and what is the payoff going to be?
Yeah, I think the payoff should be, and the goal for this team should be, a double-digit win team. I think that's firmly within reach. I know their win totals around 8.5, and I like the over on that. Because for me, this season in Notre Dame is about resetting the floor. You mentioned what Notre Dame fans have felt, especially the end of the Brian Kelly era into the beginning of Marcus Freeman, is a comfort in knowing you were going to win the games you were supposed to. That was really, in my mind, the hallmark of where Brian Kelly had gotten the program towards the end. We can talk about the big game thing, but guys, look at what happened last year with Notre Dame. A close game against Ohio State, week one of the season, that by the end of the year we saw Ohio State, one of the most talented teams in college football, an absolute beatdown of Clemson at home in South Bend, and then a USC game they just couldn't keep up offensively. Caleb Williams was in his Heisman moment, but they were in the big-time games. It was the losses to Stanford, the loss to Marshall. Those are the things that we remember the 2022 Notre Dame season for. And so this year, I think it's going to be about, yeah, I think we'll be in those games. You get Ohio State a little later in the year now. You've got Clemson on the road, which is going to be tough. You get Southern Cal at home. But really, it's what are you going to do with Duke and NC State and Pitt and some of those matchups that might look like surprise games on the schedule, games where you could fall asleep at the wheel. Can Marcus Freeman have them prepared each and every week? And can that be the biggest change from year one to year two?
Mike, let's get a little bit off of sports betting here and just go just strictly sports talk radio. But with the way that things are heading with the conference alignments, and it seems like we're on a collision course here for just, you know, four conferences, maybe by the end of the day, two super conferences, whatever it might be. Eventually, is Notre Dame, do you feel like in your heart of hearts, are they eventually going to join one of these conferences?
Yeah, eventually. Listen, when the playoff format dictates that Notre Dame's independence is no longer an advantage, or something where they still have that route to the championship, then yes, they'll absolutely join. If you had to make me guess right now, I would guess it would probably be when the super team idea hits. Because you look at where they are right now, if they're able to sign another TV deal with NBC, where again, they've traditionally taken a little bit less than they would have made in the Big Ten, in the ACC, with some of those conference payouts, to maintain their independence, because ultimately they still had a path in the playoff, like they will in the 12-team expanded format, especially if they revisit the six automatic bids for the highest ranked conference champions in light of what we've seen recently. That's all advantage Notre Dame. So yes, I do think they'll eventually make their way there, but I think it's going to be once we get that final bit of consolidation into whatever version of the English Premier League we get for college football.
Right. We take a look, your preseason number one, Georgia, your preseason number four, Alabama, preseason five, LSU. You look down a little bit further at 12 is Tennessee. We know the SEC is at least going to have something to say when it's all said and done with all of this. When you look at those, let's focus on kind of the top two, and then we can get into LSU in the conversation as well. But when you look at Georgia and Alabama, is this every bit the team that you know we're getting with this preseason one, preseason four? We hear all the time, they just reload, right? I mean, it's just reload, five-star after five-star after five-star. We know Georgia's had a top-three recruiting class basically like the last half decade.
Yeah, I think you have to give them both the benefit of the doubt at this point. For Alabama, they've proven they can weather a lot of change. And this year, it seems like, with uncertainty at quarterback going into the season, two more new coordinators, that change is on the horizon. But Nick Saban's demonstrated an ability to absorb that better than anybody in college football. And quite frankly, that's what Georgia's got to prove now. While they've certainly had some change there as the hunted now, and that's what they are coming off two straight champions, can they shift a quarterback from Stetson Bennett, who's got two rings, even though we didn't think he had the ability to be that guy? Can they absorb the loss of Todd Monken, who has been an offensive coordinator that has been incredible and an instrumental part of Georgia's success on that side of the football? They've got the schedule to do it this year, and like you said, they've got the recruiting classes. So I'm a little more concerned about Alabama just because you lost a Heisman Trophy winner on an offense that didn't seem to have a lot of other weapons outside of the running back Jahmyr Gibbs last year. And I don't know if there's a ready answer for that apparent right now on the field in Tuscaloosa that we know of from the outside looking in.
Mike, are you buying all the hype on LSU? It seems like of the teams that wasn't necessarily, you know, the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Michigans and the Ohio State, it seems like LSU is kind of getting the most chatter right now. Certainly we've seen odds fall for them. We've seen Heisman talk, all these different things that are going on. Are you buying the hype down there in Baton Rouge?
I am, just because, listen, in college football that right now is defined by chaos, is defined by the portal and movement and all these roster churns year to year, they've got something resembling consistency. Now, that's after Brian Kelly did the portal overhaul in year one with the amount of transfers they took. But he did a great job of setting that foundation early on. I think the Jane Daniels Heisman talk is probably a bit overblown for me. They'll have a chance because of the record. I'm not sure top-end production he's going to give you enough in an offense that played to his strength, that made use of short area passes, that got him on the move as a runner early and often in that offense. I think Mike Denbrock, their offensive coordinator, did a phenomenal job taking some of the things they did with Desmond Ridder and putting those into the offense here at LSU in year one. And so I think that, combined with a defense that's got some vicious dynamic athletes all across the board, that's going to be a really spicy team. And after getting to Atlanta in year one out of the SEC West, the expectation, understandably, in Baton Rouge is going to be national championship from here on out for Brian Kelly.
Mike, got about a minute left before we let you go. What is the team that, as you dug in and you really started doing your previews, that maybe isn't getting all the hype, maybe isn't getting the helium, but people should be talking about the team a little bit more?
Especially, let's stick in the SEC. The East is fascinating. We know we're all locked in on Joe Milton and Tennessee and what Josh Heupel's offense is going to look like. But my eyes wandering to Kentucky. Devin Leary comes over from NC State, an extremely veteran signal caller, and they get Liam Cohen back on offense, the coordinator that took a year departure to go back to the Rams, that really helped make Will Levis into the prospect so many draft people salivated over in this last spring. I think that combination, coupled with a great running back coming over from Vanderbilt last year in that backfield as well, could make for a really interesting out for that team in Kentucky that's always been really solid and dependable on the lines of scrimmage, but might have the quarterback and coordinator combination to once again make them a pretty interesting threat.
He is the host of the Gojo Show. Find him on the socials at Mike Golic Jr. for all the great insights. Mike, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The Eagles-Colts joint practice called off today. Several brawls, and they decided that it's best to just go ahead and call it off. Apparently this last one, A.J. Brown took a kind of a cheap shot, and then it was kind of like, all right, let's not do this anymore. Let's not get anybody.
That must have gotten really out of hand for them to call practice completely.
Yeah. Well, I think when you hit someone's star wide receiver, It said the bench is cleared and all this, and then at that point, yeah, let's get on out of here. It's been fun. I'm going to be back in the seat again tomorrow. Lombardi Line is next. Stick around.